The road is dark. You are driving along the old country road. You notice a glow moving ahead in the distance. As you approach, you notice that a figure carrying an old-fashioned lantern was walking along the side of the road. You get closer and slam on the brakes, narrowly missing the figure. It's at this point you notice that it's the figure of an old man in old-fashioned clothes. Was it a man returning from a fancy dress party? Or was it someone returning from the grave? Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. This episode is about the hauntings and stories of witchcraft and cruelty from the village of Sybil Headingham in Essex, England. But first, I'd like to announce another podcast that I've been listening to recently. The Activity Continues.
Hi friends, welcome to Season 5 of The Activity Continues, a paranormal podcast. I'm Amy, the producer and host of this show, along with Megan and the other Amy. We are three soul friends who love to talk about the Dead Files TV show, along with other spooky and spooky adjacent things.
Hi everyone, I'm Megan, our resident scaredy cat. I love this stuff, but it absolutely terrifies me.
It doesn't terrify me.
Me neither.
Most of the time. Hey everyone, I'm the other Amy, sometimes referred to as Amy, ABP, or AP, and I'm the voice of reason in the chaos, trying to keep these two spooky, goofy, lovely ladies in line. We're creating a community of like-minded friends who love to discuss all things paranormal. Come join us, where?
The activity continues.
Sybil Headingham is a large village in Essex, England. The name Sybil is believed to be from the family of Sybil, the widow of Geoffrey of Laventon, who held land in Sybil Headingham in 1237. The name Headingham is believed to be from the Ham of Heddin's people. The land has most likely been occupied since the Bronze Age, as some unique Bronze Age finds were made in 1929, along with Roman pottery and bricks. Roman bricks were also found to have been used in the construction of Sybil Headingham Church, indicating that there was a Roman settlement in the area. In the Domesday Book of 1086, Sybil Headingham, along with nearby Headingham Castle, was held by two tenants in chief, Roger Bego of Rheims and Walter the Deacon, and the Lord was Waringar of Headingham. There were 27 households, which put it at the largest 40% of settlements recorded in the Domesday Book. During the time of Matthew Hopkins, the self-appointed witchfinder general, there were many people trialled and executed for the practice of witchcraft, mostly in the Essex area. One of these was a woman named Joan Prentice from Sybil Headingham, who was accused of witchcraft in 1589. Joan Prentice was a poor woman who lived in an almshouse. She confessed that the devil had appeared to her in the form of a ferret who had fiery eyes, and he called himself Bid. He asked for her soul. She told him that she couldn't give him her soul because it belonged to Jesus, but she admitted to giving the ferret blood from her finger and her cheek. She told the jury that if she wanted Bid to do anything for her, she'd call him by saying, "Bid, Bid, Bid. Come, Bid. Come, Bid. Come, Bid. Come, suck. Come, suck. Come, suck." Bid was Joan's familiar an animal that was kept by witches, who would reward them by feeding them blood after performing evil deeds. She also said that she asked Bid to hurt a child, but he refused, and the child died. During questioning, Joan said that two other women had also used Bid, Elizabeth Whale and Elizabeth Mott. They were lucky and they received no charges. Joan was charged in line with the 1563 Witchcraft Act and was hanged on the 5th of July, 1589, only 2 hours after her sentencing, along with two other women accused of witchcraft, Joan Cunney and Joan Upney from Chelmsford. One of the last people accused of witchcraft in England was an elderly Frenchman, known as Dummy, who lived in a little mud hut in Sibyl Headingham in the 19th century. The man was known to have been deaf and dumb, and communicated by using a series of gestures. It's believed that he'd had his tongue cut out when he fought against the Chinese whilst in the French army. He made a living by telling fortunes, and he would often be seen in the village, always accompanied by several dogs, and he always wore three coats and many hats, all at the same time. On the 3rd of August, 1863, Dummy was in the Swan Inn at Sibyl Headingham, along with around 50 other people. A woman named Emma Smith shouted out above the crowd that she'd been ill for the last 10 months, and that her illness was caused by Dummy, who she believed had bewitched her. She asked him to return to her house to remove the curse, but he refused. She even offered him 3 gold sovereigns, but he still refused, just in case his life was put in danger. The more she asked him, the more she became agitated, which made the onlooking pub crowd encourage her to do it more. At closing time, the ordeal carried on outside the pub. At this point, the crowd had doubled, and they carried on encouraging her to keep pleading with him, whilst the onlooking crowd threw stones at him. At this point, she got angry and attacked Dummy, hitting him numerous times with a stick and dragging him towards the nearby brook and pushing him in. He tried to get out, but she went to the other side and stopped him. Around this time, a man named Samuel Stammers joined in, and they both pushed him back into the cold water. Dummy managed to crawl to the bank and sat down to catch his breath. Smith and Stammers grabbed him and threw him back into the water again. This changed the attitude of the crowd, with one person shouting that if someone doesn't get him out, he'll soon die. Samuel Stammers came to his senses and pulled him out of the water onto the bank. Dummy went home and he was left alone until the next morning, when a villager checked in on him, only to find him still shivering and soaking wet, covered in cuts and bruises. The local police superintendent was called out, who took Dummy to the local workhouse. Dummy died of pneumonia on the 4th of September. Emma Smith and Samuel Stammers were charged with unlawfully assaulting Dummy and causing his death. They were tried at the Chelmsford Assizes on the 8th of March, 1864, and both sentenced to 6 months' hard labour. The following ghost sighting was witnessed by a friend of mine. At 11:30 on the night of the 23rd of November in 2015, 5 students from the Czech Republic were visiting the UK as part of a 3-country vacation. They'd been sightseeing in the Essex and Suffolk area, and one of the students, an artist, wanted to see the landscapes of the artist Constable in Gainsborough. As they were travelling back to the hotel where they were staying, they had to pass through Sibyl Headingham. along Weathersfield Road, a narrow country lane. As they were driving along, they all noticed a figure walking on the side of the road, shuffling along with his head down. It was dark, with no street lighting, but it looked like the figure was of an elderly man who was carrying a wooden tilly lantern with a single candle inside. The driver had to slow down to avoid hitting the old man, and it was at this time that they noticed what he was wearing. He was wearing a hemp jacket with a cross-stitched design, a flat cap and straight trousers. The figure continued to walk along the road and paid no attention to them being there. They found it very strange at the time, but didn't really give it much thought until the next morning. In the morning, one of the students asked the others, "Why would an old man be walking alone at night along a dark country road?" They discussed if it could have been someone in a fancy dress costume, but also wondered why he would be carrying such an old-fashioned lantern. They put it down to just being an eccentric old man going home after a party. But the one thing they noticed that was unusual, he was self-illuminating. The 300-year-old Bell Inn at Sybil Headingham has had two regular ghost sightings over the years. One of the rooms is said to be haunted by the ghost of a young lady with long dark hair. She has been known to take the bedclothes from people staying in the room at night. The other ghost is said to be of an old man who knocks on the bedroom doors. When answered, he is seen walking off and not responding to being called. The White Horse is also known to have a ghost. The entity is never seen, but it is known to run along corridors, ring the front doorbell, and brush past people, many thinking that a physical person is walking past. I'd like to play a poem written by my friend who gave me the story of the old man walking in the country road. It's titled Ghosts, written by Lilia Uzbiska, narrated by Leah Caldicott, and sound by Imogen Simon.
Nighttime musings, hollow-eyed and shallow-breathed, filling the spaces between clouds, quivering shadow skin. And there are voices in the dark, lost sighs and weight upon whisper. But then, we are all whispers here.
Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. If you enjoy this channel, please subscribe and give me a thumbs up. It's very appreciated. You can find more information about episodes on the website, ghosttales.co.uk, and on the Facebook and Instagram pages at Ghost Tales Podcast. All music, research, writing, production, art, and sound effects are all my own work.